In today's gospel, we have the very dramatic scene of Jesus's turning over the tables in the temple area. He turned the tables of those selling animals and changing money right outside the temple. It's helpful for us to know what's going on in this scene, why there are people selling and buying, and what the temple is. So first of all, we learn that the setting is Passover, and so devout Jews from all over at Passover time would come in on pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and their destiny was the temple there. And so there would have been hundreds, perhaps thousands of people around the city, a lot of people there at the temple area. Why was it so important for the Jews to go to Jerusalem at these festival times on pilgrimage? Well, it's because to them the temple was the most important place on earth. The temple was the place where the people believed that God was, and that he actually dwelt there, and that he made himself a home there in the temple so that people could come and be with him, and that he could be with his people. We're told that the inside of the temple, which doesn't exist anymore except for the western wall, the interior of the temple, we're told, was very ornate and decorated in a nature motif, and that it was filled with images of flowers and trees and fruits. And the decoration of the temple was meant to evoke a beautiful garden, a famous one, actually, the Garden of Eden, because before the fall, that's where God and the first man and woman walked together in harmony and peace and in friendship. And so the temple was an attempt to restore that. Of course, with the first sin, that harmony with God was lost. There was a rupture in man's relationship with God. So the building of the temple was an attempt to restore that friendship. And it provided a place where people could come and offer sacrifice in atonement for our sins. Again, to undo that separation between God and themselves because of sin. So the temple was an extremely important place. And the reason that people were outside buying and selling was because they needed animals to offer for sacrifice. And so if they didn't own their own animals, well, then they had to buy them. And so it was, I guess someone thought it would be very convenient if they just set up shop within the courtyard of the temple itself and sell animals there. And it was practical for them to have money changers there as well, because people would have come into Jerusalem with their own foreign currency or Roman currency, and that wasn't accepted at the temple. Only Jewish currency would pay the temple tax. And so people would have to exchange their foreign coins for Jewish coins with which they would be able to enter the temple. So it's a practical purpose that those people were there. So why does Jesus get so angry when he approaches the temple and he sees, and actually you, the way that the temple itself was a building, but it was surrounded by this big courtyard called the Court of the Gentiles, and that's where the money changers and the people selling animals would have kept shop. But you had to enter through the outer gates of the temple and in order to get to that courtyard. So even the courtyard was thought to be part of the temple. So why does Jesus get so angry? Well, his words give us a hint. He says, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. It's not the fact that people are buying and selling animals, which they needed to do in order to make sacrifice. It's not the fact that they were exchanging money, but it's the location and the spirit in which they're going about their business. So bringing this worldly activity right into the temple precincts made the people forget where they were, which was in God's house. And it made them forget who they were, which is God's beloved sons and daughters. So this place was constructed precisely to bring about a unity between the people and God, but yet here they were entering in, and what was happening within the temple area was actually impeding people from being able to have a relationship with God and enter into that relationship with God. It was a big distraction. And this makes Jesus angry. And so Jesus goes on the attack. He attacks that which is keeping people from God. He attacks that which is harming them. And we see that he does this out of love. It's really helpful for us to know that if ever we hear of God's anger in the scriptures, including Jesus' anger here, there's no difference between Jesus' anger and his love. Jesus doesn't stop loving and become angry. God doesn't stop loving and become angry. And you who are parents get this. When you find something that's hurting your children, makes you angry, and you're angry out of love, you aren't necessarily angry at them, but you're angry at that which is hurting them. Jesus' anger is directed towards the sin, not the sinner. So when I see Jesus, so we have this image today of Jesus in the courtyard, and he makes a whip out of cords, and he drives the people out and all the animals out of the courtyard. And if we remember that the temple was intentionally constructed to remind people of the Garden of Eden, when he's driving out the vendors and when he's driving out the animals, I can't help but think of the contrast between Jesus's reaction to sin and Adam's reaction to sin. Because what does Adam do? Adam, in the creation story, he's been given a beautiful garden, and he's the steward. And what happens? A snake enters into the garden. And we know that it's actually the devil who's disguised as or symbolized by the snake, and the snake tempts his wife. But we hear that Adam was standing there the whole time. It's not like Adam didn't know that the snake was in the garden. He was right there as the snake is talking to Eve. And he lets him do it. So it's very clear from the story, and it'd be great to, if you want to go back and read it, it's in Genesis chapter 3. It's a great reading to see how this isn't the woman's fault. It's the man who is standing right by the woman, and here the snake is enticing her, and he doesn't do anything about it. There's a snake in the garden, and he lets it be there. So what a contrast between the first Adam and the man who Jesus, or who St. Paul calls the last Adam or the second Adam. As soon as Jesus smells out the presence of sin in the courtyard, in the garden, he goes on the attack. He gets angry. He's not going to let it stay there. So Jesus, in this passage, shows himself to be a real man. He's a good steward of the garden that his Father has entrusted him with. He's a good husband who ruthlessly goes on the attack when anything is threatening his bride, the church. He's the epitome of a good husband and a good father, because he goes after anything that would harm the children of his father. So we have a really good example here in Jesus. Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives. When I was a teenager, I got a gift from my parents that made me the envy of all of my teenage classmates. It was a boombox with a CD player, which was new at the time. That was the new technology. And I promptly and imprudently joined one of those CD clubs where you'd choose like 12 CDs and you'd pay a penny a piece for them. And then the small print was that then they would send you a CD that you didn't choose every month automatically that you would have to pay full price for. So I had gotten a shipment of these CDs when I was a teenager, and my sister, I must have had practice or something after school. My sister gets home before me, sees the box. In a gross violation of privacy, she opens the box and scatters the CDs on the kitchen table and goes upstairs. And then my mom comes home. And so my mom's looking at the CDs, and she picks up one and kind of studies the artwork on the cover and studies the list of the titles of the songs on the back, and she decides to find out more about this. So she takes the plastic off the CD and she takes the insert out and she starts reading the lyrics of the songs. And she took the CD out of the plastic and she cracked it right in half. So as a 15-year-old, I thought that a terrible injustice had been done to me by my stupid sister and then by my overprotected mother. But now that I'm older, I see that my mom was doing exactly what she should have done. Because what did my mom sense? Well, she sensed a snake in the garden. My mom saw the lyrics of those songs that when I listened, if I were to listen to that music, she knew that that would enter into my ears and enter into my mind and make it its way down into my heart. And so she was protecting me from harm. St. Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians, he says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So, brothers and sisters, the Lord today is inviting us to ask how we respond when there's a snake in the garden. Might be the snake that enters our home, endangers our children, endangers our spouse, or it could simply be the snake that wants to enter into our hearts, we who are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus who is the perfect friendship and reconciliation between God and humanity fulfills the temple in us as through our baptism and confirmation, God himself comes to dwell in us. This is a tremendous mystery, but this is what we believe, that we ourselves, through the sacraments, are the dwelling place of God. We are the fulfillment of the temple. When the snake tries to get at this temple, how do we respond? Do we just let it? Do we let harm be done to this temple of the Lord, temple of the Holy Spirit? Or do we, following Jesus' example, go on the attack, not settling for sin, but rooting it out? We need God's grace to do that. When we fall into temptation, which we inevitably will at times, Do we reconcile with God, especially through the sacrament of reconciliation? How do we respond to the presence of evil in our own heart? Do we go after it and keep going after it? Jesus looks at us with tremendous love because he sees us as we truly are, the beloved children of his Father, his brothers and sisters, and temples of the Holy Spirit. He hates whatever harms us, especially whatever harms our soul. Let's ask God today to recognize that which is dangerous in our families, and that's which is dangerous to our own souls, and to go after it ruthlessly, violently, not being satisfied until it's been completely driven out of the garden.